Beis Kislev, 2nd of December, Rabbi Alan Kempi, Yitzchok and Rivka.
Always a pleasure to be here, and once again compliments to the organizers of this wonderful program, Torah Away. It's a big Kiddush Hashem, and this is a wonderful Beis HaMedrash to come to, which I do whenever I get a chance. Vateilech Lidrosh Es Hashem. Vateilech Lidrosh Hashem, Rivka Imenu is pregnant for the first, and in fact the only time in her life, after 20 years of marriage and a lot of davening. And she senses that something is wrong. Something is wrong, Chazal tell her, something is wrong, Beruchnius. She senses that the child or children, she doesn't know yet, inside the womb, there's something wrong, Beruchnius. But Teilech Lidros Hashem, she wants to know the solution. And she gets a nevuah which will change the course of Klal Yisrael, the history of Klal Yisrael. That nevuah really is behind the scenes the pivotal issue of the entire Parshas Toldos. That nevuah really controls all the subsequent events and everything that happens. Rivka Imenu gets that nevuah. Interestingly, how she gets the nevuah is a subject of some discussion. Vatelech Lidrosh Hashem, so Rashi says, she goes to ask Shem, Beis Midrashay Shel Shem, who was the Gadol HaDor at the time. The Chizkuni says she went to ask Avraham Avinu, who presumably was closer to her and not, and also the Gadol HaDor of the time. The Mefarshim say that according to Rashi, why didn't she ask Tak Avraham Avinu not to give him tzar? She knew something was wrong. She didn't want to cause Avraham Avinu tzar. But it's an interesting question about who she asked. The Ramban has got a different mahalach completely. The Ramban says, Vatelech Lidros Hashem means exactly what it says. She davens to the Rebbeinu Shlom. She davens to the Rebbeinu Shlom. She asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a solution. And the next pasuk is, Vayomer Hashem Lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to her. So the Ramban's pshat is much more closely connected to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, Vayomer Hashem Lo. But the interesting thing is, why in fact do Rashi and Chazal not go down the obvious line? Is because in fact, if she goes and asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu and she gets an answer, that means that Rivka is one of the Nevi'ot, is one of the female prophets of the Tanakh. And we find the Gemara in Megillah Yudalad tells us there were seven Nevi'ot. There were only seven Nevi'ot in the whole of the Tanakh. Seven women who had the power of Nevuah. Sarah, Hannah, Dvoira, Miriam, Abigail, Chulda, Esther, the Gemara gives us a list there, Megillah Daf Yudalad, and Rivka is not among them. So possibly, I'd like to suggest, that the reason why Rashi says what he says, which is not Pshuta Shemikra, is because he took literally this list in Megillah Daf Yudalad, and thought that was an exclusive list, and therefore she didn't get personal Nevuah. The Ramban, on the other hand, probably learned this Gemara, that it's not an exclusive list, that maybe there were others as well who had single nevuahs in their life. But again, according to the Ramban, you have to say that in fact Rivka was a nevuah, and this nevuah really is the guiding principle in the entire parsha. What is really a problem that the Ramban, other Mefarshim also deal with, is she kept this nevuah to herself for 63 years. Now, this is not a personal thing. Not many of us can keep a secret for 63 years, right? Yaakov, according to Chazal, Yaakov and Esau at the time of the brachas, v'yitzin l'cho Elokim, are 63 years old. She hasn't told anybody this nevuah. But in her heart, she knows, v'rav yavoy tzo'ir, it's not going to be the Bechor who's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. It's going to be the younger one. And she knows this, right? But clearly she hasn't told Yitzchak. And this is a pella. Why hasn't she told Yitzchak, right? My guess is that for any of us, if our wife had an insight into anything, we would hear about it sooner or later, probably sooner rather than later. If they had an insight, if they had a nevuah about the role their children were going to play in the future, we would certainly hear about it. If not over breakfast, then certainly over supper, we'd hear about it, right? And yet, for 63 years, she keeps quiet. And this is a pella. This is a pella. The Ramban, again, wants to solve this problem by saying it was a tznius of hers. It's a rather unusual thing to say. It's a tznius of Rivka that she felt it wasn't her role to tell Yitzchak what to do. Right? That she felt that she was in some way very subservient, very secondary. She married somebody who was himself a Novi, and she felt that if he was supposed to get this nevuah, he would have got it from the Rebbeinu Shlaila. Yeah. That she didn't need to be the one to tell her husband, who was senior to her and who was a tzaddik yisod olam, to tell him what to do. So this was, that's how the Ramban learns it. It's interesting that if you look in the Hamikdov of the Netziv of last week's parsha of Chaisara, so the Netziv says, you'll recall that when Rivka meets Yitzchak for the very first time, when she comes back, when Eliezer brings her back, she sees Rivka, Lasuach Basod Elifnas Erev, he's davening Mincha, right? Vatipoil Me'al Hagomo. She falls off her camel. That's what the pasuk says. What does it mean she falls off a camel? What does it mean? Says the Hamikdov has got a whole piece on that. He says she was so completely overawed and so completely awestruck by this man who was a Malach Elokim, who had just come back from the Akedah, who had lived the life of Kedusha and Tara for 40 years. She was so overawed by that, that she sort of passed out, so to speak. Says the Hamikdov very interestingly, it's worth reading it actually, the way he speaks about it. He says, the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka is completely different to the relationship between Avraham and Sarah, and in fact between Yaakov and Rachel and Leah. Avraham and Sarah, they were, so to speak, partners. They were Avraham Magayas HaNashim, Sarah Magayas HaNashim. When Sarah had something to say, she said it directly to Avraham Avinu. They were on par with each other. They had traveled a similar route. Don't forget, they'd both grown up, so to speak, surrounded by Avodah Zarah, and they both made the journey together. But Rivka didn't feel that. Rivka felt that she'd grown up among Lavan and Besuel in the house of Avodah Zarah and Ramos, and Yitzchak had grown up in a house of Kedusha and Tara, and she was on a different planet to him. She was not able to really advise him or instruct him or tell him off on anything at all. Says the Hamikdava, that remained for her whole life. Yitzchak and Rivka are a different model of a husband and wife to the model of Avram and Sarah. It's difficult for us to really use our models of husband and wife for the Ovos and the Imahos, but to the extent that we can, the Hamikdov or the Netziv tries a little bit to contrast these relationships. But it's important to understand, why does he mention this, the Hamikdov? Because again, the nature of that relationship really is also a key to the whole of Parshas Toldos. Had Rivka, in fact, felt like Sarah felt with Avram, that she could convey her knowledge to Yitzchak, the whole Parsha would have been different, Toldos would have been different, Yaakov wouldn't have needed to dress up and pretend he was Esav, everything would have been different. She would, one morning over breakfast, she would have said, listen here, dear Yitzchak, I've got news for you. Batenek Lidras Hashem, I got a nevuah. But it's not Esav, it's Yaakov, and that's Alpi Hadibur. And that's it. And that'll be the end of the story. And the whole thing would have been different. But in order to understand the parasha, we have to understand these key units. You have to understand the relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak was such that she couldn't say anything, and that she uniquely had received that nevuah.
Can you explain those 63 years?
63 years? Why did she keep quiet for 63 years? Rashi brings down Chazal, it's Gemara and Megillah, going through all the ages, etc. I'm not going to go do the maths for you now, but that's how it works. That at the brachas, Rashi mentions it a few times, at the brachas, Yitzchak, Yaakov and Esav were 63 years old at the time of the brachas, And so for 63 years she kept this quiet because she got the wool when she was pregnant. So for 63 years she kept this quiet. Okay. The interesting question here is, though, there is a sort of a question that the Mefroshim look at carefully. And the question is, what was Yitzchak thinking? Yitzchak must have seen that Yaakov was an Ishtom Yoshev Aholim, that Yaakov was a tzaddik, completely shakua and Torah and Avodah. He must have seen that, right? Now it's true, but Tichenu Eino Biraos, he couldn't see clearly. His perception was distorted in some way. He couldn't see clearly, but okay, and he must have thought that Yitzchak was Yitzchak really fooled by Esav completely. This is an interesting question, right? Chazal say, Rashi brings down, we've all learned, Chayda, right, Tzayid Befiv, that what does Tzayid Befiv mean? That Esav wasn't just a hunter, he was a devious person, right? He was a person who was able to deceive people easily, and make out Ke'ilu, he was a hypocrite, he was somebody who lived a life of Taivas, according to Rashi, Abed Zorah, Gila Royash, Vichastomin, all those terrible things we hear in Chazal about Yitzchak, about Esav. We don't see that in the text, incidentally, but in Chazal we have all these terrible things about Esav. But, according to Rashi, Papashtus, and you learn Rashi, Yitzchak was simply, he was fooled. Esav had managed to outwit his father. I'd like to just share with you briefly, time allowing, there is a different Mahalach in the Parsha, which is found, I think the earliest source is really in the Sforno, but the Malbim and the Sfas Emes all go down this route, which I think is a much more interesting insight into the Parsha, taking the Parsha to a deeper level. And one of the simonim that there's something going on here, which is a little bit deeper, is to pay close attention to the two brachas which we find in Parshas Toldos. The famous bracha are the two psukim that Yitzchak gives: V'yitzenecho Elokim mital haShemay mishmanei oed v'avdogo v'sirosh yavducho amei mishtachu v'chol umi v'havigavir l'achecho v'shachu v'lecho b'nei yimecho. That's it, two psukim, right? And that he gives to the person he thinks is Esav, when he turns out to be Yaakov. That's the first bracha. At the end of the parsha, right, what does it say then? V'yitzenechos birkas Avram, l'chol ozarecha itoch, rishchos eretz megorecha, shenosu lekim l'Avram. He gives a different bracha completely to Yaakov. Different bracha, birkas Avram, eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry? Yes, he gives a different bracha to Yaakov to the one that he'd given to Esau. You're absolutely right. To Esau, he gives a bracha. If you look carefully at the words of Yitzen Lecho Elokim Mital HaShemayim, there's no mention of the bris with Rabbeinu Shlomo. There's no mention of Eretz Yisrael. There's no mention of Birkas Avram. There's no mention, really, of the Ruchnius dimension of Klal Yisrael in these two psukim. Yitzen Lecho Elokim Mital HaShemayim, Shmanei Oret, Rav Dog HaMatirosh, Yavducho Amim, Shtachon Lecho Lumim, power and wealth. That's what these two psukim are about. Only power and wealth. That's what he gives a bracha to. Says the Sforno and the Malbim that Yitzchak had a pretty good idea who Esav was. It was a pretty good idea that he was a ish yodeh tzayid ish sadeh. But he had a cheshbon. Yitzchak had a cheshbon. His cheshbon was, it's true that Esav is a hunter and a powerful man, a military leader, a man with an understanding of Olam Hazeh. But Klal Yisrael will need such a person. We will need military and economic leaders in the future of Klal Yisrael. And so his idea was, in the language, and this is the words used both by the Sforno, the Malbim, and the Sfas Emes, he says Yitzchak's idea was that Yaakov and Esau would be Yisachar and Zevulun. That was the plan. And that was plan A. Plan A was, I'm going to give Esav a bracha of power and wealth, and he's going to lead Klal Yisrael, protect them against their enemies, and organize the economy. He understands Olam Hazeh. Yaakov is the yeshiva bracha. Yaakov is an ishtom yoshev aholim. He's a kohen yevam. He is, in fact, a kohen. A Kohen who doesn't work, who doesn't go to the army, who's Osek Ruchnius exclusively his whole life. Is this a good idea? It's a fabulous idea. For Horaya, later in history, that's exactly what happens. The Kohen and Taka don't earn their own parnasa. They live off Trumas and Maestras and Bikurim and everything. They live off of Esrim Arba Matnos Kohuna is the income of the Kohenim. And the rest of Klal Yisrael support them, and the Kohenim are exclusively dedicated to Avodas Hashem. That was the plan of Yitzchak. And it was Yotzel Apoel later on in Jewish history. So his idea was an excellent idea. So the question is, if it was such a good idea, why was it wrong? Why did it not work? So here's an interesting thing. So the Malbim, I think the Malbim spells this out better than the other Mefarshim really just mention this. But I think this, why is this idea important? Because in a sense, for us learning Torah, Parshas told us is disturbing in lots of different ways. One of the ways disturbing is, it makes out Ke'ilu Chas V'Shalom that Yitzchak Avinu was a very gullible person who didn't have a deep chachma, was easily deceived, and he needed to be set right. Right? But in actual fact, he just simply misread Esav min ha-kotze la-kotze. He misread him completely. Where Esav was a Rosh HaGomor, he thought he was a Tzadik Yisod Eilam. So the Malbim and the Tzfasem are saying, no, he never thought that Esav was a Tzadik Yisod Eilam. But he thought that we needed people. We needed people who would be able to protect and guide Klal Yisrael in Olam Hazeh. And therefore, this was his original plan. Why didn't it work? So here comes an interesting thing. Have a look at the Malbim. Later on, we all know the story, and later on, Yitzchak realizes that he's been fooled. And he says, Gam Baruch Yeh, nevertheless, I endorse the bracha I gave earlier. And then Esav cries out, and he says, gam oni ovi. What about me? I also get a bracha. And Yitzchak says something about Yan. Yitzchak, he says, well, come on, I can't do anything for you. Now, this is a Peledic thing. I mean, I'm sure many of you have had an experience. You go to a Rebbe, and you ask for a bracha. I don't think you've ever gone to a Rebbe and asked for a bracha, and he says, I'm very sorry, the last person who came in before, he took the last one. I'm out of stock. I've got no brachas left. Right. What does that mean? What can I do for you? Give him a bracha. So he'll give him also a bracha. What's it schlecht? I mean, there's not enough brachas in the world. It's a peledic posuk, this. Why should Yitzchak feel, ulecho eifo mo eselecho? What can I do for you? I can't do anything for you. I've given the brachas. So what is really going on here? Various different perushim. The Malbim says something, a very tifa vot. He says, what is a bracha? A bracha is success b'olam hazeh. That's a bracha. Success b'olam hazeh for someone who's got the wrong values, who's completely egoistic and selfish and a bal taiva. The more success he's got, the more of a bal taiva he'll be, the more of a bal gaiva he'll be. Any type of additional wealth and power he's got will all be used negatively, right? That's not a bracha. He's saying to Esav, now that I've realized that I've been mistaken about you all my life, I now realize that actually you're a person who is completely shakua in your own taivas and your own egoism and your own olam hazeh. What bracha? Of course I can give you a bracha and be a millionaire, but that in my vocabulary, that's not a bracha. That's not a bracha, on the contrary, that's a miksha. The richer you are, the more meshigga you'll be. I'm sure everybody's met people who were quite normal when they didn't have too much money, and as soon as they became multi-millionaires, they became meshigga. Why? Because they couldn't cope with the bracha. I'll tell you an interesting hamikdava, just incidentally, beautiful hamikdava on Birkas Kohenim. This is especially for the Kohenim here. I have a feeling I might have mentioned this in one of the Torah ways I've given in previous years, but it's worthy of a chazara. Sometimes chazara is a good zach, right? In Yeshiva we were told, chazara is only after you've learned something four times, then it's chazara. The first four times you learn something, it's still the first time. So the fifth time is chazara, so I don't think we've got yet to chazara. So the Pa Mekdova says, what do you mean yivrecho Hashem v'yishmarecho? So he says, every bracha needs a shmira. Yes. A person gets a bracha of enormous, that he's intellectually the genius of the generation, he needs a shmira that he doesn't become a bal gaiva. Because if he becomes a Baal Gaon, if he becomes obsessed with his own, just look how clever I am, right? Just look how wonderful I am, everybody else an idiot, he becomes Oismetsch. So being a brilliant person is not always a bracha. Forget, it can be a mikshal, a person can stumble over that in terms of ruchnius. Somebody very wealthy or very beautiful or very powerful, every bracha, every excess in Olam Hazeh can be a disaster. How many lottery winners have ruined their families and ruined their lives and ruined their society? Everything, their whole life has completely been ruined by a sudden injection of wealth. They're completely finished. Why? Because they've had the bracha without the shemira. Says Rav Chaim Mekdovah, Yevrecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, means every bracha needs an equal and opposite shemira, that you know that how to use the bracha, the Shem Shemayim. With that in mind, Yitzchak says to Esav, Mo'es elecha b'ni, what can I do for you? You don't have any of the shemiras. You don't have any of the safeguards and the boundaries which will enable you to use the bracha, the Shem Shemayim. Well, I'm going to give you a bracha for wealth and you're just going to become a more of a Baal Taiva. That's a bracha. That's a disaster. So he doesn't know what to do for him. And that's Pshat the Pasuk. And that's really how the Malbim learns Pshat. In Pashas told us that his original plan was Yisachar and Zevulun, but Yisachar and Zevulun rely on the integrity of Zevulun. That Zevulun is not just earning money and gets a bracha in his parnasa, but he's using it to help Yisachar. So he's using it to support Torah, he's using it for Yerush Shemayim, he's using it for the Ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. Then it's a bracha. So Yaakov realized, says the Malbim, says the Sfas Emes, that Esau was too far gone. Any brachas would only feed the fire of his own ego and his own taiva, and therefore would just be a worse disaster. And this is really how the Malbim and the Sfas Emes really understand the bracha. I'm just looking at the clock here all the time, half an hour. To get a few nice diriteri in half an hour is really not quite enough. But I've got 10 minutes still. So I want to share with you a most beautiful idea from the writings of Rav Tzadok HaKohen. So Rivka tells, if we go back a little bit, Rivka tells Yaakov, I need two goats. Why do I need two goats? To make matame, to make for a meal for Yitzchak, kasha ohev, his favorite steak, his favorite supper. I'm going to make for Yitzchak. Why does he need this? Okay, why he needs this is also a big parsha in the Mefarshim, right? The Sforno says because Yitzchak knew, in fact, that Esav didn't have enough zechus to receive the bracha, so he wanted him to be oseh b'mitzvah kibud av. He gave him, prepare me a meal. By preparing the meal, he's doing a mitzvah kibud av, and that was the mitzvah that Esav was Esav's speciality, and on the zechus of that mitzvah, he would get the brachas. That's what the Sforno says. Kiliyaka says it was a question of, we find with the Nevi'im sometimes, they used various different mechanisms to raise their level of simcha, because nevuah only comes to somebody who's in a state of simcha, right? Ein ha'shchina shayra, except on somebody who was besimcha shal mitzvah. So this was, whatever it was, Rivka says, I need shnei gedoye izim toil. Rashi asked the obvious question, for one meal you need two goats. Why do you need two goats? Shnei gedoye izim toil. That's the obvious question. So Rashi brings one manda omer in Chazan. Rashi says, what does he say? Pesach haya. It was Pesach. Okay? Pesach incidentally is when Yitzchak was born. But Pesach is also the time when he's giving these brachas, going to Rashi. And he needs Shnei Gedoy, in other words, these Shnei Gedoy Izim are a remez to the Pesach, which will be La'osid. This is according to the Shitta, that the Ovid knew the Torah and kept the Torah before it was given. He knew about Pesach, even before Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he wanted to bring one Eiz was for a karbon, the other was for the meal. Okay, these are the Shnei Gedoy Izim. But that's only one man da'ama in Chazal. There's another mandam in Chazal, which is actually quoted here by the Rabbeinu Bachaye, the gracious rabbi, who says, Yom Kippur, was Yom Kippur. Shnei Gedoye Izim, Rabbi say Yom Kippur. Lazaza, one Lashem, one Lazaza, Shnei Gedoye Izim. Right? It was Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, we need to have two goats. So the Shnei Gedoya Izim in Parshas told us is a remez la'osid lovoi, ma'isa ova simil abonim. It's either remez to Pesach or remez to Yom Kippur. So it would appear that these two opinions in Chazal are simply opposite opinions. It was either Pesach or it was Yom Kippur, right? It's either one symbol or another. It says Ratzadik HaKayin, and this is part of the brilliance of Ratzadik HaKayin. For those of you who have an opportunity to look into the writings of Ratzadik, not an easy job to work out some of the ideas of Ratzadik, but it's well worth it. So he says, you have to know how to learn Chazal. When Chazal come along and say it was Pesach or it was Yom Kippur, they're not trying to give you a date in the calendar. Who cares what date it was? It was Tuesday, it was Wednesday, it was Kislev, it was Tishri. What date of the year it was? That's not what they're telling you. They're using Pesach and Yom Kippur as a concept. Right? According to one man, the Omar, this event was a Pesach-dik event. It was a Pesach type of event. Right? And according to the other man, the Omar, it was a Yom Kippur type of event. What does that mean? That according to that, it says for Yitzchak, it was Pesach. What is Pesach? Pesach is a time of year. Pesach is a time of year that we pass on the Masorah to the next generation. When we stand in front of our children, give them brachas, and we pass on the emunah and the Masorah of the others to the next generation. That's Pesach. That's what he was doing. He was giving a bracha to the next generation, making sure that the future generations kept focus on the emunah of Avraham Avinu, the Torah of Avraham Avinu, and giving them a bracha. This is what, in Yitzchak's mind, what was happening was a Pesach-dik event. And hence, the Chazal tell us that Shnei Gedoyim is reference to Pesach. But there was someone else standing there. It wasn't just Yitzchak was standing there. Yaakov was standing there, dressed up as Esau. And he knew that what he was doing, he would need a kapara for this. He knew that what he was doing was necessary to do, but he was deceiving his father. He was saying, Anochi Esau b'cherech. He was telling a lie. He was dressing up, but he didn't like to do it. He didn't want to do it. But he knew that he had to do it. Al-pi hadibur. Again, that's the nevuah of Rivka is driving this whole event behind the scenes. He knows he has to do it. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, for Yitzchak it was a Pesachtik event. For Yaakov standing next to him, it was a Yom Kippur event. He was standing there tittering. He was tittering. He knew that he would need a kapara. He would need a korban la kapara because he was doing something wrong. L'shem Shemaim. Right? He was doing something wrong. L'shem Shemaim, and that was the, and that's what Chazal mean. Chazal are trying to tell us something about the ruchnius nature of that moment in history. And the answer is, it was both a Pesach-dik event and for Horaya, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, Yitzchak eats, but Yaakov doesn't eat. Yaakov isn't eating here, why not? It's Yom Kippur. He is looking, he knows he's going to need kapara for this. Right? And this is, I think, an interesting insight into both how to read Chazal. And Chazal don't literally mean Pesach and Yom Kippur, they mean there's something about the essence of the moment. I just want to finish up with one last idea, which I saw in the writings of Yaakov Kamenetsky. I've got 3 minutes left, is that right? 3 minutes left? I've got Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha. I was able to meet him a couple of times, very special. He, Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov. So he asks an interesting question. Why was it, he asked from a different perspective. He says, what's going on here? And Parshas told us, why was it necessary for Yaakov to go through this tzar to deceive his father in order to get brachos? Okay, it's a difficult question. Often it's a difficult question when you're learning Torah to ask these sort of questions. Sort of it's a meta question. It's a question about the big picture, what's going on here. But he says, I'll say very briefly what he says. He says, we find with Avraham Avinu, right, where Elohim nisah es Avraham. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu a nisayon. He tested Avraham Avinu. And that's the Akedah, right? The truth is, the Mishnah Ova says, Asorah Nisyonos, 10 tests. So the Rav Kamenetsky, Avraham Avinu was Amud HaChesed. He was, by nature, a person who was teaching Emunah and generating Chesed to the entire world. the nature of human midas is that when a person gets a nisayan, it has to be a nisayan which goes against his own nature. He has to overcome his own teva. And therefore the biggest nisyanus for Avraham Avinu was sending away Hagar, sending away Yishmael. This was anti-chesed. And ultimately the Akedah itself, there's no bigger anti-chesed challenge for Avraham Avinu than the shechita of his only son. It was all the complete antithesis of the chesed that was his nature, but that's the nisayon. The nisayon is, are you able, when the situation calls for it, when that's the Ratzon Hashem, are you able to do something which completely does not come naturally to you? That's the nature of nisayon. Says Rabbi Yehuda Kamenetsky, again, it's a very profound idea, if you have a chance to look into it, it's good to learn it inside. He says, Parshas told us, was the Akedah, was the Nisayan of Yaakov. Yaakov is the Ish Emes. Yaakov is, you know, we all know the famous Pasuk in the Novi Micha, chapter 7, Titin Emes li Yaakov, Chesed la Avram, right? So just to the same extent that Avram is Chesed, Yaakov is Emes, right? So in his whole life he was so completely makpid, always on the absolute Emes. His nisayon is, does he know how to say a sheker when that's the Ratzon Hashem? If that's the Ratzon Hashem, then if he can say a sheker when it's the Ratzon Hashem, then when he says the emes, he's only doing it out of Ratzon Hashem. If he can't say a sheker, even when it's Ratzon Hashem, that means that when he says the emes, it's only because that's his nature. That's because that's how he's born. His ability to say a sheker, because he knows that's the Ratzon Hashem. How does he know that? Because of Rivka's Nevuah. I said that's the driving force in the whole parasha. Rivka's Nevuah tells him that here is an opportunity where the Ratzon Hashem is, you need to outwit Esav. The real liar here is Esav. Esav has been deceiving his father. We need to combat that by yourself. You've got to go and remedy it by pretending to be Esav. This is the sheker which is required at this particular moment. The Hamek Dova connects this to the whole sugya in Masachas Nozia of an Avera Lishma. He says you need to know Avera Lishma is a very complex subject, the Avera Lishma. To be able to do an Avera, the Gemara there is speaking about Ya'el and Sisra. Right? But Ya'el and Sisra, the story of Devorah HaNaviah, so Ya'el ends up executing Sisra, but she first sleeps with him. Right, and the Gemara says this was an Avera Lishma. She did this in order to save Klal Yisrael. Esther is with Achashverosh in order to save Klal Yisrael. This is called, Chazal call it an Avera Lishma. Similarly, Yaakov, says the Hamek Dava here in great length, Yaakov standing before his father and saying, Onoche Esav Bocherecha, is an Avera Lishma. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's not just that he had to do an Avera Lishma. If you understand the middah, the central middah of Yaakov is Emes, you understand that the Nisayan had to be whether he could do Sheker or not. That was the Nisayan. And that proved that Yaakov wasn't just somebody who was innately committed to truth. It proved that he was an Eved Hashem. At every level he was an Eved Hashem. And now that Al Pi HaDibur, Rivka has told him that he has to tell a lie, he's willing to do it. Right? But while he's doing it, it's Yom Kippur for him. It's Yom Kippur. He's going to need Mechila for it. And these are in fact Netziv connects this to the two goats of Yom Kippur, one Lashem Barem Lazozel. He says that the Lazozel goat on Yom Kippur is also a type of Avera Lishma. The Lazozel goat is what we do to the Lazozel goat. If it wasn't a Tzivoy Hashem, it would be Avedah Zara to send in Lazozel Hamidbar. Ramban says that. Right? Nachremus. When to send the goat Lazozel Hamidbara, that's not a korban, that's a type of Avodah Zarah. And yet, because the Torah tells us to do it, it's a type of Avodah Lishma. So these are some of the deeper themes. And I'll just end up with the final Balaturim of last week's Parsha on a high note. Balaturim says about Yishmael, the closing words of Chayisara, al pnei kol echov nofal, that Yishmael never got a Yerusha of his own, never got his own land. Al-Pnei Echav Nofal, he descended upon everybody, he lived everywhere, took over other people's lands. But the word Nofal has another meaning to it. It means that he will be finished, he'll be full. And then the next words is Eile Toldos Yitzchok. Says the Balaturim, Chazal tell us, Kesheyipol Yishmoel Ba'achris Hayomim Yokum Mashiach Ben Yosef Mizera Yitzchok. So we see that it's the fall of Bnei Yishmoel which is the indication of the coming of Yemos Mashiach, Peir of Yomein, Omein.